Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, ugh, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams, whew,
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
Hey everybody, this is Kate.
And Devin.
Welcome to Med Crimes.
We've been gone a while.
It's been way too long. Hey, creeps.
Oh my gosh. What is this again?
Where are we?
We have not recorded in like a month.
Am I in a basement?
So we're on schedule, but we had that week where we were ahead of the game.
And we took way too much advantage of that, and now we have not been together in a while.
And now we're like, oh my God, shit. We gotta like do this.
Like right now.
Here we are!
Here we are!
What's Med Crimes again?
I don't know. Where
are
we?
Who are you?
We have a special guest in the pod lab, and she is basically heaven and angelhood personified, and her name is Sally, and she is my golden retriever, and she's bootylicious, and I love
Sally the dog.
Yep, I don't know where she went. Oh, I see her. She's laying right behind me. You never go far. Come here, Sally. Come say hi.
It's been a crazy time since we've last recorded.
Things are just crazy in this world. I don't really know how to process a lot of what's happening.
Can we just say?
Always. That's what podcasts do.
I'm going to say it.
Yeah.
The Supreme Court has committed a med crime.
I feel like the biggest med crime of all.
It's the biggest med crime of all. And we as women are obviously outraged.
Uh-huh. Yep.
So,
it's gross. It's filthy. I feel so sad for a lot of women.
I'm scared for the future.
Oh, God.
I'm scared for the future.
I'm scared having a daughter for the future, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, when there was one
sons, there,
well, there was one morning that I woke up going, thank God I have boys, mm-hmm. right? But then I went, well, is it going to stop here?
Yeah. I don't think so.
Are they going to continue to do things
that
could take away
precedent.
Their rights as an adult, depending on who they want to love,
who they want to be? Exactly. You don't. We have
so
no idea where this
moment,
is going to stop.
So at this moment, I'm thankful I have boys.
Yes.
But
if it just continues.
It's not going to stop.
No, I don't think so.
That's our tangent. That's our angry med crime tangent.
And, you know, we're not going to go too crazy over it because we know there's a lot of craziness in this world. And the podcast, I'm hoping, can be like an escape.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean?
Like, we don't want to stress people out even more.
No.
No.
We just have feelings. and we know you have feelings and we wanted to acknowledge
And we
feelings.
Haven't seen each other in a while. So we just, in person, happen to be recording when we say, okay, what the hell is this shit?
I know. What the fuck? So, anyway, here we are. We have
new Patreons.
Yes.
I totally took over for that.
No, but it's fine. You are a co-host. You can do whatever you want.
Thanks for the permission.
You're welcome. Kathy Wiedersehen.
Welcome to the family, Kathy.
You are a beautiful creature that lives in the ocean, much like a mermaid. You're probably a mermaid. Thank you, Kathy.
Aww.
I know.
Kathy the mermaid.
Yep.
Ruthie Cogswell.
Welcome to the family, ladies. Ruthie, you are an awesome, fiery pterodactyl in the sky, and we love you.
So she's almost like a dragon.
Yeah. Except I already assigned someone a dragon like a few episodes ago, so I felt like I couldn't reuse
I
that. So at the last minute,
creatures.
I went with pterodactyl, and it was a weird choice. But I'm just going to run with it. Welcome to the family.
Welcome to the family. Ruthie is also somebody who has given us the feedback, which is one of our most favorite feedbacks that we've gotten, saying, I just want to be best friends with you two.
We are the best friends.
We're the best friends.
We are the best friends.
So what do we have for us? Because honestly, you did a quick promo photo.
I did.
And I was like, I don't have a clue what that is.
It's okay. So we today are going to be talking about Elizabeth Holmes and the rise and fall dramatic, tumbling, swirling, awful fall of her company, Theranos.
Theranos.
Yes.
Okay.
So
it did rise.
Oh, it rose very quickly. It was a very interesting and crazy phenomenon that we are going to get into. How her company came to be, how it got born, its dramatic rise, so much hype, crazy names attached to it, you know, instant billion-dollar company. And it
had you
all
heard
just
of
fell
this company
through.
Before you did this research?
Yes.
You did?
Yeah, I did.
Should I know what this is?
I mean,
sometimes this show makes me feel really stupid.
Well, no, you don't need to feel stupid. There was recently, I think it was like a Hulu or some streaming service did a thing about her.
Okay.
And it was in the news in the past like few years.
All right.
So
maybe the story will come to light for me.
We've all been busy in the past few years, parenting.
Having babies.
Like, yeah, I know. Who, you know, you read an article, you see like a headline about, you know, some company falling apart and you're like, whatever. Like,
are you
my babies
to have
are screaming.
Time when you're quarantined and having babies?
Yeah, exactly. So let's start talking about Elizabeth Holmes without further ado.
Can I call her Betty?
I mean, you can if you want. I don't know what she was called. I'm just going to call her Elizabeth Holmes.
Okay.
She's kind of a crook. We're going to get into it.
She made it on this show, I would imagine.
She's like more than kind of a crook. She's like a literal crook. It's like a whole thing.
Okay.
All right. So Elizabeth Holmes is a former biotechnology entrepreneur who had claimed to have found an innovative new healthcare technology which would revolutionize laboratory medicine and healthcare in general.
Okay.
And it was soon revealed, however, that the technology was not all it was cracked up to be.
False labs.
Critical results.
Critical.
Yes. So, Elizabeth Ann Holmes was born February 3rd, 1984 in Washington, D.C.
She's not much older than
us. I know. I actually saw that. I was like, oh, she's a February baby. She's a February baby.
Cute.
I know.
So she's not even 40.
I know. Yeah, she's very young. Wow. And if you see pictures of her, you're going to be like, damn, girl, you fine.
Oh.
Like, she is a gorgeous woman.
Except for she's a crook.
She's a bit of a crook.
All right.
Yeah. So she was born to parents Christian Rasmus Holmes and Noelle Ann Holmes. Now, her father, Christian, worked as a VP for Enron, which, if you don't remember, was an energy company which actually had disbanded after going bankrupt following like a big fraud scandal. It was in the news like years and years ago.
Probably something else I missed.
This was a long time ago, though, so I didn't really remember it until I read about it again, and I was like, oh, yeah, okay. And her mom worked as a congressional committee staffer. Now, while she was...
Oh, that's impressive.
I know. Isn't that interesting?
Hmm.
Now, I wonder what, like, campaign she worked on. I don't
Hopefully
know that.
Somebody we like.
Yeah, I hope so. Hmm. Now, she was born in D.C., but she actually grew up and spent most of her time in Houston, Texas. And she attended St. John's School for high school. And she had a very early aptitude for computers and all things IT. Like, she loved, you know, developing software and, you know, working with gadgets and
smart brain.
So smart. Mm-hmm. And she was such an innovator and an innovative person. And her ideas were incredible. They were so good.
And not just an idea, but then have the plan to how to make that idea come to life is what's impressive, too.
Right. Yeah. Well, we're going to talk about how she's not really all that great at that piece. So.
Fine.
Now, she always had expressed interest in, like, working for herself and starting her own big company. Like, she wanted to be like a VP of like a precedent setting company that
Don't
like changed everything. I know, right? Yeah. Don't we all? But she was like, she I think really did have the drive to do it if she applied it correctly and approached it correctly. So she claims that she started her first business in high school as well by selling compliers, which is a type of computer software, to like Chinese universities. I know.
Okay.
I know. Hmm. So she actually took Mandarin classes in high school and in college and is like fluent in Mandarin.
Which you kind of need to be in that field,
you
right?
Do,
that always
you do.
Gives you the up and up.
Exactly. Now, she always earned top grades in school. She did very, very well. She was very close to being valedictorian in high school, actually. And she even got into college at Stanford University. Mm. Smart cookie. Now, she begins her studies at Stanford, studying chemical engineering. And while she was in school, she did some work as a student researcher also in the lab at Stanford University in their School of Engineering. So that's where she started getting her feet wet and actually, like, putting things together, like up the applied sciences, really.
Mm-hmm.
Sally is supervising the situation. She's like,
she's checking in.
Checking in. Yep. So we should post a picture of her because she's
Sally the mascot.
She's a creature. Following her freshman year, she did travel over to Singapore and began to work in the lab at the Genome Institute of Singapore. And this is where she starts getting specifically into her foray into, like, healthcare and applied sciences and into blood testing. And specifically, her work was around SARS-CoV-1. Now, this is not COVID that we know
that's
now.
SARS-CoV-2.
Yeah, this is an earlier strain of coronavirus that was also had been known to cause SARS.
Mm-hmm.
So she even filed a patent application while while she worked on a drug delivery patch. And she later cited a long-term fear of needles as her inspiration for a lot of her work. So injections, blood draws, she hated all of it. And she was like, there's got to be an easier way.
So she's trying to create workarounds.
Exactly. Which is admirable.
Hey.
You know what I mean?
I'm all for it.
Because there's a lot of people that suffer from that. And
needles
hurt. It's a real thing, you know? Needles do hurt sometimes. Yeah. Now, in her travels, she meets a man named Ramesh Sunny Balwani. Now, at the time, Balwani was quite a bit older than her. Holmes at this time is 18 years old, and he was 19 years older than her.
Dang.
So, much older man. He was married at the time, but in 2002, shortly after they had met, he divorced his wife. And that's where this, like, years-long affair begins between Elizabeth and this guy, Sonny Balwani. Who's twice her age.
Mama must have loved that.
I mean, no judgment. Like, hey,
sure.
If you guys are, like, you know, really into each other, like, go for it. But it's here that she really decides to, like, refocus from school and start really pursuing her passion and her goals, which was to start up a biotechnology company. And I think that she's really always had, like, that innovative brain for, like, new technology and really wanted to just, like, start something on her own. So here is where she drops out of Stanford. And she uses the remainder of her tuition money that she had set aside to invest in a consumer healthcare technology company. And this was going to be, like, her baby, that she, like, her startup.
This is giving me, like, the vibes of previous episodes we've done when it's, like, you can't run before you crawl.
Walk before
you crawl. You probably should have finished Stanford first.
I mean, I feel like that would have been reasonable.
All right.
Yeah. Her fear of needles goes on to inspire a lot of her work and inspired the next venture. Now, she thought to herself, we have so much sophisticated medical technology. Why do we need entire vials of blood when we run blood tests on somebody? Like, what, you know, we can check glucose from a single pinprick. Why can't we do the same for all blood tests?
The INRs.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of things that we can check with just, like, a point of care.
Valid question.
Now, most of us have had blood drawn before, but typically a phlebotomist will find a good vein, insert a small needle into the vein, and collect a vacutainer, which is like a small little plastic or glass container. A lot of them have different preservatives in them, mm-hmm. Depending on the test that you need run. They collect a vacutainer or several vacutainers full of blood to run certain tests. And there are times, if you need a lot of tests, you know, the phlebotomist will walk away with, like, a whole handful of vials of blood. And, I mean, I feel like it's a reasonable question. Like, why can't we just, you know, consolidate all of that? Now, certain tests require it to be collected in, like, certain tubes, also depending on the amount of blood needed to run the test. And obviously the type of preservative required to be in the tube when it's collected. Now, most labs have these, like, huge machines that can spin the blood down and separate the cells from plasma, which gives us certain blood counts. And they also have like chemistry machines where they can test things like electrolyte levels, lipid levels, renal, liver function, all of that. And it all requires, you know, a whole lot of big machinery. Now, she started in 2003 by naming her company Real Time Cures, which was going to be based out of where she had recently resettled, which was in Palo Alto, California. And you may wonder, you know, what this young, gorgeous, intelligent woman with her whole life up in front of her wants with Sonny, this, like, older guy.
This was exactly going on in my head right now.
Well, I know.
What does she want from him?
He had a lot of money.
There, it's always money. It's always money.
And she had the startup idea. And she was like, you know, I feel like if I really am in a serious relationship with this guy, and I got to confess, this is my personal opinion, and this is not validated anywhere, but it's kind of what it seems, that she was kind of in a relationship with Sonny so that he could really help get this company off the ground.
I mean, they have the term gold diggers for a reason.
They do. So that's, you know, speculation, but again, this is a podcast. Speculation is what we do. Yes.
Until they take that right away from us, we can have our
exactly.
opinions.
Exactly. So there's that. Now, her theory was that she could find a way to extract vast amounts of data, typically only available through blood draws, simply by providing only a single drop or a few drops of blood. And what she was proposing would be to develop a small, portable even, machine that could be made available eventually even for home use. And by using...
Or like in my setting, right? Yeah. In the long-term care. Like,
it could be
have
in
it
pharmacies.
With us.
Long-term care.
Yeah.
Just really making that data collection so much more accessible to people.
And that'd be something.
By just using a finger prick, any and all blood test results could be ascertained. So she... I mean, this idea is gold. In theory, it is gold.
I just said, wouldn't that be something?
If somebody could make this work, how amazing would that be? So she pitches her idea to one of the medicine professors, though, at Stanford School of Medicine. And her name was Phyllis Gardner, who responded that, you know, it's a wonderful idea. I do not think it's plausible, because she knew that these things have been tried in the past and failed. And, you know, we've gotten this far in life doing what we're doing now because this is what works.
It's what works, right.
And
the gold standard.
Exactly. A lot of people have tried this in the past and failed miserably. And as for much of blood testing that's performed even today, you simply need the volume of blood. Mm-hmm. Like, you just need that volume. And so she would not back her idea. And that was disheartening because, you know, this is a medical venture, and this is like the first medical person that she's proposed this to, and it kind of got shot down.
Debbie Downer.
I know. So she went through the entire department, though, trying to find more support, and was essentially told the same thing. No freaking way. No medical person would really back up this idea because they did not think it was plausible. Now, girl did not quit, though. So she sought out,
did
finally.
Did she present just the idea? Or a way to get there?
No, she presented, like, this is the idea, and I believe I have the technology to do it. And what she's looking for is capital, investors.
To help research to get the money to get her
yes,
there.
Yes, exactly
yeah,
right.
Yeah.
So, girl did not quit. She sought out the dean of the School of Engineering, Channing Robertson, and he did back her idea.
Lowe's knows that free makes everything better. That's why our rewards members get free standard shipping on the things they need and want, starting at Silver Key status every day. Savings for rewards members add up fast, so why wait? Join for free today. Lowe's, we help, you save. Not available in Alaska and Hawaii. Exclusions and more terms apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at lowes.com/shipping terms. Subject to change.
Shortly thereafter, she renames her company Theranos, which is a combination of therapy and diagnose. So, it's a cool name.
I would have gone with theory and diagnose.
Yeah.
Because in theory, this is what I'm diagnosing you with.
I feel like Theranos sounds like a
I thought it was
Greek
a Greek god. Oh my gosh.
I feel like it's like Zeus, hashtag Hades, best friend. Theranos, you know, Hercules.
I thought it was a Greek god, and yeah. I was like, what kind of story are we talking about this week?
Theranos. So, Robertson, who was the dean of the School of Engineering who had supported her, became the company's first board member, and he started helping Elizabeth work network a little bit and try to get more funding and investors. Now, he is an important player here because, you know, he's the dean of engineering at like an Ivy League school. He has mm-hmm. a lot of connections mm-hmm. and his name carries a lot of weight, you know. Mm-hmm. So people start seeing people start seeing that he's tied to this project and
so
go,
it's like, oh, this is
validating.
He's in support.
Exactly. So
you're right. A name can validate a lot.
So true. You get that one person and it's like a switch mm-hmm. flips mm-hmm. and it takes right off. And that's exactly what happened here. So she networks like a pro. And by December of 2004, she had secured $6 million in
wow.
funding in less than a year. And
whoa, that's impressive.
Yeah. Some really big names were starting to buy into her idea. She starts collecting more board members. She named Sunny, whom she was still in a relationship with, as the president and CEO of the company. And she was like the owner and co-CEO
Lucky
of the company.
Sunny.
Yeah. Now, again, she has, remember, she has absolutely no medical training whatsoever.
Right.
And everybody medical.
And she's still technically a quote unquote college dropout.
Yes.
Which I mean, you can get places. Hello.
Of course like, you can. Yeah, so yeah. many people have.
There's a whole debate of what you can do in life without college
exactly.
and student loan
debt. And there
debt.
Is so much
Absolutely.
You can do. But this is a very technical and
yeah.
lofty
yeah, yeah,
goal
yeah, yeah,
for
yeah.
somebody who does not have the training and also.
Or the bioengineering degree.
And so
or,
far she's found zero medical support for this whatsoever. Remember,
right.
every medical person
so
she's approached has said no
most
thank you.
Where supporters coming from?
Every other field.
Okay.
Literally every. Nobody medical. Everybody else.
Got it.
So she had no medical training whatsoever. And in addition, the relationship between her and Sunny was never disclosed to the board.
Oh.
So this was like kept very much on the down low.
There was no full disclosure.
No, there was not.
Mistake.
So she begins like starting to operate the company, build the company sort of secretly. And
so at this point, she's like 20 years old.
Yes.
Wow.
And all beta testing was done with very, very few employees without any press release, no company website. Like things were really on the down low.
Yeah.
And finally, after years of, quote, perfecting the technology, she announces a partnership with Walgreens to launch an in-store blood collection center. And that is when more partnerships, you know, started coming out. Once Walgreens tied their name
right.
to it, this again, you know, really validates this whole thing.
Exactly.
So by the end of 2010, Holmes had secured more than $92 million in capital
Whoa.
To fund this company. And I feel like this really just speaks to like her poise and her charisma.
Right.
And hype. In general, if something
uh-huh.
gets hype, even if there's no substance whatsoever, the fucking power of just hype
uh-huh.
is
and
insane.
A name.
And a name.
It reminds me of that Netflix documentary of the girl who pretended to be rich, that she was in the fashion and whatever.
Anna Delvey.
Yes.
Dude,
right?
I fucking
that
loved that.
Doesn't
yes.
that kind of remind you of this? Like,
yes.
that girl had nothing.
100%.
But
yes.
the way she poised herself, the way she acted, she
and
got it all.
She defrauded so many people just because she had that little something.
Yeah.
It's amazing what people can do.
She's the scientific Anna Delvey.
Scientific but non-medical Anna Delvey.
Yeah.
So now in July of 2011, former Secretary of State George Shultz joins the board of directors and made a sizable donation
wow.
to her firm. I'm telling you, these are the types of names that she had on her board. Crazy, like high-powered individuals.
Oh, now I can't wait to find out what happened.
And I mean, I get it because this technology was set to literally change everything about healthcare.
And everyone like, wanted to be a part of
you
it.
You know what
it
I
worked.
Mean? Like
right.
because if it worked, like this would have been a game
Changing.
Changer for everybody. Now, the flagship unit from Theranos was called the Edison device. And this was a little machine that, in theory, you could put in a drop of blood, and it would tell you everything you need to know. It would tell you like up to 240 different lab tests you could run on this one machine. Now, this would use what they had patented and called a nanotainer, or a teeny tiny vacutainer, like the size of two grains of rice put together, like a tiny little thin thing, to collect a drop or two of the user's blood. And then the data would be available within minutes. Now, in 2014, she appears on the covers of Fortune magazine, Forbes, the New York Times and Inc. magazines. Forbes had recognized Holmes, I shit you not, as the world's youngest self-made female billionaire. And she was raking in cash and, like, heavily praised for this phenomenal reboot of laboratory medicine. I mean, no kidding. Yes. I mean, this was, like, a huge deal. It was huge. You should see these covers. Like, she looks like a fucking rock star on these magazine covers. It's crazy. So...
But yet still, so we're up to 2014, so it's 10 years, but we're still not any closer.
So she, along this time, is disclosing very little about their actual data and virtually nothing about, like, specifically what they're able to do at
still
this point.
Still just riding high on this idea.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And what she is saying to the press is that everything's come along great. You know, we're making so much progress. We're growing leaps and bounds. We're right on schedule. And, you know, everything is going exactly as expected, when that was really not the case.
Liar.
And the employees that did work for the lab had to, you know, sign, like, NDAs, non-disclosure agreements. And... the fact was, you know, and we'll get into sort of how everything kind of fell apart, but the fact is it was nowhere near. I mean, there's just,
I was nowhere near. Within 10 years, you got something.
You got, they, like, did have a few things, but nothing that really was that notable. So she applies and submits for patents by the end of 2014, and her name appears on 18 U.S. patents and 66 foreign ones even to this day.
I'm Googling her.
I know, right? So she starts making these more of these, like, collaboration deals left and right. And so she had partnered, after Walgreens, she partners with, like, the Cleveland Clinic, Blue Cross Blue Shield, AmeriHealth, to use all this technology. And these tests are now starting to reach the end user. So these units that... can do this blood testing are, like, being sent to these places, and people are starting to, like, give their samples and get results, and the results are going to the, like, physicians and providers, and
without any proof that it actually works.
Exactly. So thousands are starting to utilize these nanotainers and these Edison devices every day.
She's beautiful.
Right? She's freaking gorgeous.
She's a blonde bombshell.
She really is. Now, even though all this exposure and her being currently at the very top of the world, pathologists and other medical experts from around the country are all pretty confused, because just how, you know, with that little blood volume, how is it physically and chemically possible
to perform all
of this testing? So it really just did not seem plausible or to make any sense to them whatsoever. Now, in addition, again, amongst this extensive board of directors, was there even one medical expert? Anybody in medicine at all?
Anyone?
No.
Anyone?
Not a one.
Are you an expert?
No.
Are you an expert?
Literally no.
No one.
Nobody. So, now, there's this Missouri-based pathologist who actually ends up reaching out to a reporter from the Wall Street Journal with his concerns. Because he, in his mind, he's like, you know, this is starting to, you know, I'm seeing this pop up everywhere. And
become scary.
Exactly. It's a scary thing. Exactly.
Because so, then it's almost like fraud on a
wide level. Massive level that is potentially, you know, causing dangerous. Some patient harm. So a reporter named John Carreyrou from the Wall Street Journal, in response to these concerns raised by the medical community, starts to conduct a months-long secret investigation into the inner workings of Theranos. And a lot of information was garnered from talks specifically with ex-employees of the lab.
I was just going to ask how he got the dirt.
Now, a lot of them claimed that actually what Holmes is claiming the Edison device is capable of was an extreme exaggeration, like extreme. They also commented on Sonny's behavior. Now, Sonny was responsible for like overseeing the employees in the lab, and they described him as being overbearing, seemed very fearful of any information from the lab being leaked out, like to the point of verging on paranoia, like you know, a very odd and scary guy to work for. Yeah, exactly. So he was able to obtain some of the company's documents as well, like some of their actual data. Now, when John Carreyrou publishes his first article on Theranos in October of 2015, this is what was like the first fall, the first domino in this whole like cascade of
because then it
shit
just like
sandwich.
Isn't it always like you just need a hint of
yes.
a rumor?
That's it. Sometimes that's what it is.
And
yes.
so like that very first article is
exactly.
just like.
So the article was scathing and it was a huge shock to everybody. Now, the article describes that behind the scenes, there was a lot of struggles with accuracy of testing. And while Holmes and Balwani were citing that the Edison could offer more than 240 lab tests, at this time, the machine is only capable of handling a tiny fraction of those tests. Mm-hmm. And at the time, it was really only about like maybe 15 tests were being routinely performed at the lab. And that's not even accurate. You know, not even like accurate testing. These are just things that are being performed and perfected. Now, the article continued that one Theranos employee accused the company of failing to report test results that raised questions about the precision of the Edison system. Such a failure could be a violation of federal rules for laboratories, the employee was saying. And, you know, that was part of the reason that employee actually left the lab. And it slams Holmes as a young kid with only rudimentary engineering training and no medical training whatsoever, which is not
what
wrong.
Said. No.
Exactly. Now, it revealed that a British biochemist by the name of Ian Gibbons was hired by Theranos back in 2003 and was tasked with researching methods of chemistry testing with tiny amounts of blood. And Carreyrou had interviewed Dr. Gibbons' wife, actually, for the article. And he had said that Dr. Gibbons had been so stressed out about this project because he would come home saying, nothing's working. We're not making any progress. None of this is working. I don't have a way to make this work.
And I would imagine all research kind of hits that wall at some point in time. Like,
it does.
But you've gotten to a certain point. But
right.
then it sounds like they don't even have a starting
For years,
point.
Though, he was right. like, nothing right. is working. And Dr. Gibbons actually died by suicide in May of 2013. Yeah. So, I mean, it also pointed out that because Theranos didn't sell any Edison machines to other lab facilities, that's how they got away with not needing FDA approval before they start selling these units.
You know, obviously, you're going to need that.
That apparently was a loophole for this particular type of testing.
So who were they selling it to?
Because they weren't selling it to other lab facilities. They were selling it to pharmacies, doctor's
for
offices.
People to do, like,
yes, because it was, in theory, its own lab facility.
Right.
You know?
Right.
So they weren't selling it anywhere else. Isn't that crazy?
I'm surprised that pharmacies and doctor's offices and clinics and whatnot purchased this without FDA approval.
100%. Now, it was revealed as well that many lab samples were needing to be diluted to increase the volume of solution to be tested.
But then that's going to negate your results.
Exactly. All the formal employees rightly were concerned that diluting samples could severely skew the accuracy of the results. And lab experts also expressed to Carreyrou that finger prick blood is often inaccurate anyway, as this is a very distal part of the body and it tends to mix with other like dependent fluids and be diluted as a general rule. So there's a lot of factors here that are like really, you know, confusing. Now, Theranos representatives immediately refute all these claims, and they declined to comment on whether the samples were being diluted. They stated they are, quote, routinely performing tests beyond the 15 or so that employees had reported, and that as for the ones they hadn't yet perfected, it was, quote, all part of the journey. And they called the article a, quote, tabloid, and promised that they would publish data on all of their lab testing. Now,
I want to see it.
I want to see that data. Stuff. So she goes on to appear on CNBC's Mad Money that same evening that the article was published.
I remember that show.
Yeah. And Kramer had said to her, you know, that article was really brutal. And to which Holmes responded, quote, this is what happens when you work to change things. First, they think you're crazy. Then they fight you. Then all of a sudden you change the world. End quote.
She's also not wrong there.
I know. She's not. You're absolutely right.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Now, following this, Carrie Rue went on to publish actually a series of articles on Theranos that actually, and he actually even published a book detailing his investigation, which I was able to get a lot of great information from. It's called Bad Blood, Secrets and Lies in Silicon Valley Startup, and it's by John Carrie Rue, and I highly encourage you to pick it up if you want more information
about this. Bad Blood. What a good title for this story.
So this starts getting a lot of negative media attention, and to mitigate this, Holmes and Balwani invited U.S. Vice President at the time, Joe Biden, to tour their facility. And
whoa!
I know, and he's touring. He said he praised what he saw, but in order to conceal the lab's true operating conditions, it was later uncovered that Holmes and Balwani had created a fake lab
for the vice president
to tour. Isn't that crazy?
Stop it!
How crazy?
The vice president's coming. Let's
quick. We gotta put together a lab. Where's my spare lab? I can't let him in the real one. So
come on!
Isn't that insane? So
I hope she gets creamed.
So January
takes some balls.
I know. So January of 2016, the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services finally issue a warning letter following a surprise inspection of their Newark, California lab facility. And they had identified deficiencies in testing, sample collection, and sterile processes, everything. And they were given 10 days to correct these deficiencies.
Mm-hmm. And that's standard.
It's pretty standard. Now, Holmes went on record to say that she was, quote, devastated that they didn't catch these issues sooner. Eye roll.
She probably didn't even know they existed.
Exactly. Well, I think she probably knew exactly that everything existed.
Well,
here's
the thing is she has the no training in all of these things.
Yeah.
And so who's giving the oversight?
But somebody has to be telling her that, hey, we're not making any progress. It's been like 10 years.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
we still haven't perfected this. Like she has to know that this is not going according to plan. So, and she promised to build a whole nother lab and stack her board of directors with more medical experts.
Within 10 days.
Within 10 days.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, exactly. Now, shortly after this, her partnerships begin to dissolve, starting with Walgreens. Walgreens pulls the plug on their thing.
Been tagged by CMS.
I know.
They're not seeing any results.
Exactly. Things are really starting to snowball. Now, finally, in July 2016, CMS banned Holmes from owning, operating, or directing a blood testing service for a period of 2 years.
Oh, why?
And Theranos appealed that decision to a U.S. Department of Health and Human Services appeal board. And the U.S. FDA also ordered the company to cease use of its capillary tube nanotainer device, which was like one of its core inventions.
Right.
So all because they failed to provide CMS with any proof that she had addressed or fixed any of these concerns. So again, just blowing more smoke up people's asses to try to cover her own.
Right.
So CMS revoked their clinical laboratory certificate after that. So,
was that her CLIA?
CLIA. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what a CLIA is.
I know what a CLIA is.
I'm so glad I have Devin. She's so smart. So
Should we tell the listeners at home that are not medical what a CLIA is?
I wish you would.
It's basically your certificate that allows you to do testing.
Yes. Like
it's basically your authorization.
Exactly.
To do any kind of lab testing.
Right.
In my setting, it would be CLIAs for...
Like PTINRs.
PTINRs, yeah. Any of the labs that we would draw. But it also covers you for... glucose.
Oh, cool.
Because essentially taking someone's finger stick
that's
is a
true.
Lab
that's
draw.
A lab draw. You're absolutely right. It is.
That's your education for the day.
The more you know. Thank you, Devin.
You're welcome.
So, in 2017, the state of Arizona then files a suit against Theranos, alleging that the company had sold 1.5 million blood tests to Arizonans while concealing or misrepresenting important facts about those tests. And in April of 2017...
Like the fact that they don't work?
That they don't fucking work? There's that minor little detail... And the company, in April of 2017, actually settled the lawsuit by agreeing to refund the cost of the test to consumers and to pay $225,000 in civil fines and attorney fees for a total of $4.6 million. And other reported ongoing actions included unspecified investigation by the FBI and two class action fraud lawsuits. Holmes, through all this, denies any wrongdoing.
But
blames
yet she's
literally
settling.
Everyone else.
So, hello.
Yes, exactly.
Isn't the key with, like, settling is, like, you just want a problem to go away?
Yeah.
And you got something to hide.
And you're like, these scientists will figure it out eventually, but they weren't fucking figuring out because it was just not possible.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, honey. So, December 2017. By this time, the once 800-employee company was down to just 25 employees.
Whoa.
So Walgreens not only terminated that partnership, but they actually ended up suing, among other entities, all of which settled.
And you think those other 25 employees are like, we gotta get out?
Why am I here?
Yes.
I hate this.
Right.
Exactly.
What happened to the other 775?
Like Elizabeth, Sunny, like her mom, her cousin.
Guys,
you know what I mean?
Is everyone on vacation?
Yeah.
Where are they?
Exactly. Where is everyone?
Break
everything's
room's
fine
empty
though.
Today.
It's like that meme with like the dog that's sitting at the table with a cup of coffee and everything's on fire around him, and he's just like, "This is fine.
This is fine. Everything's fine. I'm fine.
I am fine." That's literally what happened. That's the inspiration behind that meme. This situation. That dog is Elizabeth Holmes. So in March 2018, the SEC, Securities and Exchange Commission, charged Holmes and Theranos' former president, Sonny Balwani, with fraud.
Sonny Balwani.
So they finally got their fraud charges.
Good.
Here by taking more than $700 million from investors while advertising a false product, claiming they had engaged in a... quote, elaborate years-long fraud, which is so true. And
yeah.
Where they, quote, deceived investors into believing that its key product, a portable blood analyzer, could conduct comprehensive blood tests from finger drops of blood. Which, again, totally
liar.
Untrue. Lies everywhere. So, June 15th of 2018, Holmes and Balwani were indicted on multiple counts of wire fraud and conspiracy to commit wire fraud. And according to the indictment, investors, doctors, and patients were all defrauded from this bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
And it is alleged that the defendants were aware of the unreliability and the inaccuracy of their products, but just concealed the information and tried to make it seem to all their investors that everything was going just fucking fine. And it was not.
Mm-hmm.
So if convicted, they each face a maximum fine of $250,000 and... 20 years in prison.
Oh, there's the big one.
Yes.
Because she has $250,000.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, she might not anymore.
Well, true.
So, in September 4th of 2018, Theranos announced in an email to investors that it would cease operations and release its assets and remaining cash to creditors after all efforts to find a buyer had come to nothing.
The fall of a billionaire.
The fall of... The Greek god Theranos.
Hmm.
Yep. Trials were set to begin in 2020. However, they were pushed back due to the COVID pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
And Holmes' trial eventually began late in 2021. And Prosecutors argued that Holmes absolutely knew that the technology was inaccurate and knowingly sold units for testing to thousands of companies and people. And she garnered so much buzz, big names and investors for her company, that it was all just a giant house of cards that, you know, as soon as...
Do we know of any, like, harm that might have come out of these based on results?
I don't. I wish I knew, yeah. But I don't. I don't have that.
Right.
It'd be interesting to know. So, Sonny and Holmes have split. And
no kidding.
Holmes did actually remarry in the midst of this. And her now
husband... Where'd she have the time?
Her, I know.
Oh, my God.
Her now husband, Billy Evans, she actually just had her first baby with in 2020. She gave birth amongst, you know, during all of this in 2020.
Okay, this is sad.
I know. Isn't it? I think everyone really wanted this technology to work because she was absolutely right. And this would have changed everything and made healthcare so... incredibly accessible to
for
everybody,
sure.
Right?
But you got to have a plan to get there.
Exactly. And it would have just streamlined lab testing and just changed everything for the better. But medical experts being leery was just absolutely right. It's just not feasible. You need the volume. And in January of 2022, Holmes was convicted of conspiracy to commit fraud against investors and three charges of wire fraud. And she's being sentenced... She's not been sentenced yet. She's being sentenced. It is scheduled for September of 2022. And
she was convicted in January, yep. But hasn't been sentenced yet.
That's right. And she faces a max sentence of 20 years. But legal
experts...
So right
now she's still with her baby.
Yes. But legal experts are thinking that she's going to get a much lighter punishment.
I'm sure.
Because
that's what always happens with the lifestyles of rich and famous.
So her ex-partner, Sonny, though, Sonny Balwani, his trial is ongoing. And prosecution claims that he was actually the mastermind of all the wrongdoing here and that Holmes was just an unwitting scapegoat, which, no, I don't buy that at all. And they allege that he was actively participating in defrauding the investors.
I think it's the other way around.
Yeah, I think so, too.
Wicked.
And they allege that he was actively participating in, like, defrauding investors and advertising false information to patients and to buyers. Prosecutors have pointed to Balwani's oversight of Theranos' lab. You know, he was there for the day-to-day with the lab, and, like, he was directly supervising a lot of these people, and all of this happened on his watch. So... closing arguments included a 2015 text that Balwani sent to Holmes stating, quote, "I am responsible for everything at Theranos," Balwani said. And he also said, quote, "All have been my decisions too," end quote. So that was pretty damning that he was
gonna
very
say,
involved.
Sorry, dude.
Yep. And Holmes was rumored to maybe be testifying at his trial, but she did not testify at Sonny's trial. And we hope to hear of Sonny's verdict sometime this week, actually, because he should be getting the jury should be back very soon.
Okay, so they've had their closing arguments and they're deliberating.
Yes.
Dun, dun, dun.
And also, once we hear about that, they'll schedule his sentencing.
I'm anxious to know about her sentencing.
Me
unlike when we had the other case where we wanted the lighter sentence, I don't want
this time around. Yeah.
But again, who knows?
Who knows?
Who knows? I'd be really anxious to know if anyone was affected by it.
Oh, yeah.
Because then that would bring, if someone was harmed, that would bring a higher sentence.
That changes a lot, yeah.
For sure.
Or if, like, I mean, I'm sure a lot of people, like, you know... medical decisions were made based off of this lab work. You know, that's why we draw labs, so that we can make medical decisions.
I know.
So
you diagnose
exactly
off of those numbers.
You know, the numbers are so, you know, vast that it's probably impossible to tell exactly, you know, how many times this might have happened, but I'm sure it reached patients and I'm sure it caused harm in some way.
Damn her. She is the medical Anna Delvey. If you haven't watched Netflix series, it was pretty fun.
It was so entertaining.
Really,
yes,
fun.
It was great.
But it looks like this one's on Hulu.
I think it is Hulu. Okay.
If it's out, I don't know. I didn't get that far.
You should watch it. It was Amanda Seyfried, which
yes.
I love her.
I love her,
She's my favorite mean girl.
Yeah, she was a mean girl, wasn't she? Yes, she was.
Mm-hmm. There's a...
She's the dumb one. 95%
chance that it's already raining. I love that.
All right, guys. Well, thank you for listening. If you want to hear more about us, you can follow us on Instagram at MedCrimesPodcast.
You can tweet at us at MedCrimesPC.
Oh, you're switching it up on me. I don't like this. Find us on Facebook by searching MedCrimesPodcast.
Or if you wish to become a Patreon, you can visit www.patreon.com/MedCrimesPodcast.
Do you have any crazy stories that you want us to tell?
Are they ridiculous?
Are they spooky?
Are they stupid?
Are they fucked up?
I hope so.
Then send us your stories via our email at medcrimes@gmail.com.
We love you guys.
Thank you for tuning in.
Bye-bye.
Toodles.